Good morning. Before I give the notices this morning, Krista would like to come and say a few words.
First of all, good morning and thank you for, I know many of you knew about my granddaughter who had been evicted and she, 10 months later, she's now moving into a home of her own. A charity called St. Basil gave her a temporary accommodation for the last 6 or 7 weeks. But while she was there, she received a telephone call from the Leamington Council where she wanted to move to because it's her home area. And they provided a home for her in Illington. So a lovely flat. It's beautiful, a one-bedroom flat. And she will be happy there in a block, you know, one of these high-rise block of flats is on the fourth floor, but she doesn't mind. She'll be safe and it'll be her own. So thank you for keeping her in mind when you prayed. Thank you. Bless you. And thank you, Lord.
The notices for the coming week are as follows. On Tuesday, the 16th September, the funeral of Jean Wilson will take place at 12:30 p.m. in church and Lenton's Lane Cemetery. Wednesday, the prayer meeting will be held at 8 p.m. on Zoom. The church cafe will meet at 10 a.m. in the church hall on Friday, and the craft group will meet 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next Sunday's service will be led by Ian McNair at 11 a.m. and the worship warriors will also meet at 11 a.m. Some advance notices. On Saturday the 18th of October, Women's Day will be held at Heath End Church, Let Your Light Shine, and that's at 10:15 a.m. There's a poster in the vestibule and it's just the same as that one, so if you want any more information, please check the poster in the vestibule. The Wesleyan Reform Union meetings are to be held at Jump or on Zoom. If anyone would like to be a delegate or a visitor, can you please see Dave Lee for further information? They're all the notices for this morning. It's my pleasure to welcome Darren from Compton City Mission. Thank you very much, Darren.
Oh. Good morning. Welcome to church. You've got to keep moving this morning because it's cold. We'll do a wellness check about halfway through, if that's all right. It's a bit nippy. Let's start with some verses from Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountains' peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us bow down in worship, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. However we are this morning, whether we're in a good place, in a not so good place, we're with each other, with family, and with God, and we've come together to worship him. We're going to sing some songs, we're going to pray together, we're going to hear his word, and hopefully leave here encouraged and blessed, and in a better place than we were when we arrived. And the first thing we're going to do is sing our first song. So over to Maestro, please. Stand, if you're able, and what we sing together.
Thank you.
As some of you know, I'm from City Mission, so I thought I'd give you a brief update on where we've been, what we've been up to, and ask you for a couple of prayer points, if that's okay. As you know, we're just based through the industrial estate, really round the corner. And it's been an amazing year so far. I can't remember the last time I came, and I can't remember if have we baptised people since we last saw you?
Yeah.
Well, we have. I know, and you know, because you're everybody. It's a trust thing. Yeah, so we've baptised people for the first time ever, dedicated people, taken them through Bible study, blessed them with food and fellowship and all these different things we do. And it just keeps happening. And it's amazing how God blesses the simplest of things when you're a little bit worried it's not all going to work out. Every year we try and host a fun day in the summer. For anybody can come, but it's really aimed at younger families. And that happened towards the end of August, and we try and do a barbecue, we try and do activities and games, and a little bit like an old-style fun fair. And so the kids can come and have a go at everything. They can have food, they can have tattoos, not real ones, they can have... they can have face paint, they can splatter rat if they're with Nick, and it's all free. And you can imagine, when you start planning it, this stuff starts to add up in cost. And we're starting to think, well, should we give them a sausage and a burger? Can we cut the sausages in half? And you just have to trust God, don't you? When you put these things on, if you believe it's of God, you have to trust God, he will provide. So 2 weeks before the event, we had pretty much nothing. And we were starting to think, well, we're going to have to buy it, we're going to have to order it. And within 3 or 4 days of the event, we'd been donated over 100... No, actually, I think it was over 200 sausages. I'm talking that size sausages. They were massive. Over 150 burgers, over 300 batches, and bizarrely, over 200 Easter eggs. Which you need in August. But it was amazing, because what we do, we always create a little grid, and each box in the grid has one of the activities that the children get to do. And we say to the children, if you do them all and get them all stamped, when you go, usually we'll give you another sweet, or we'll... But we were able to say to the kids, if you complete everything, have a go at everything, come back, give it to me, and I'll give you an Easter egg. And they weren't like that size Easter eggs. They were Easter eggs that, we looked it up, they were £20 on Amazon. So they were good. Nick's still working through the 7 he had. But it was so nice to see, you know, even though it was August, to give people an Easter egg. It was such a blessing, and everyone was leaving with smiles on their faces. So I just want to encourage you that sometimes we're asked to do things that don't make any sense. I was sharing some stories yesterday with a friend of mine of some of the things that have happened at the mission where God intervened and it just didn't make sense. He just blessed us abundantly in a situation we thought was hopeless. And so I want to encourage you, if I don't know what you're facing at the moment, as individuals, as families, as churches, but to encourage you that God is with you, that God will bless your situations. He can't always make it right, but he does promise to be with you and to walk alongside you. So things like the fun day are an amazing opportunity. We also, some of the team jumped off the cathedral in the summer. They were attached to ropes, thankfully. A team of 9 people abseiled down by the stained glass window, just around the corner from the stained glass window outside. And it's not, apparently, I don't know this from experience, it's not until you get up there you realise how far down it is. But if you haven't had our prayer letter, the latest newsletter is out. That's Sarah, my deputy. I didn't make her do it. She was the first one to volunteer and was the first one to realise that she'd made a mistake. What on earth have I done? But she went. It was a beautiful moment because she went down at the same time as both her sons on three different ropes. So have a look through those. They're there if you haven't had one. The newsletter's there. We're amazed to say that we raised £4,500, and that wasn't. Thanks to God, and that amazingly wasn't in a kind of you know, people begging, I'll pay you more not to go. And they were willing to go. As I said to Sarah as she was coming down, you don't realise the angle until your colleague is hanging over the side of the cathedral. I said, we could have sold advertising space on certain parts. She said we could have doubled our profits. But no, I've already deleted, it was brilliant. I'm so pleased we have crazy people who are willing to do these sorts of things for us. So have a look at that. Some things coming up that you may be interested in. One of the things we realised over the last few months is there's always people going through grief. There's always people dealing with loss. But it seems at the moment it's more obvious and there's less support there. We met a lady beginning of the summer who came into the cafe and she just looked a little lost. And my wife, Ondi, went up and had a chat to her and she said, well, I don't know what I'm looking for, really. And she says, I've just lost my husband and I cared for him for over 10 years. She says, and now I just feel a bit lost. And it turned out the more Ondi talked to her, she's lost her husband, but because she'd been the carer, she'd lost kind of her job and her purpose and all of her activity, and now she was just at a loss. She was not only grieving, she was just at a loss. And the more we've had conversations with people, the more that appears apparent. People are just struggling at home by themselves, don't know where to go, don't know what to do. And we said, we're not experts, but I think we've all been through it, haven't we? And so we've set up twice a month, there's a group at the mission called Oasis, which is just a grief cafe. It doesn't do anything other than be. It's an opportunity for people who are struggling or just want to go and be with people who understand, opportunity to go somewhere. And it's a space at the cafe, in the cafe, in the mission, that's just set up for people who are struggling. And so there'll be cake, there'll be tea and coffee, all free, and there'll be some people there just to chat to. I mean, we had two people come. It was the first official one last week on Wednesday. And we had two people come, and apparently they didn't stop talking from the moment they arrived to the moment they left. And it was just two ladies who were almost comparing notes about how they felt. My wife said, I almost felt surplus to requirements. She was there to make the tea. But actually, if you feel that's for you, or if you feel there's somebody you know that might benefit, bring them along. The details are in the What's On guide, which again are down there, with all the other things we've got going on. But we really feel, we know two or three other similar cafes run across the city, and it's just a nice place for people to just breathe and not have to hold it all in, not to pretend everything's okay. And so if you think that's for you or someone else, details are in there. And finally, obviously it's September, so the main thing we're talking about at the mission is Christmas, and have been doing since July. As you know, we run the Giving Tree at the mission, where we give toys and gifts away to disadvantaged kids across the city. Last year was well over 1,500 children we helped, and we expect it to grow again. We pray it won't grow too much because it's pushing us now to a scary point. But we would value your prayers. Even at this early stage, we'd value your prayers for provision, for people. We need more and more volunteers all the time. And for practical stuff. We need more toys, more wrapping paper, more sellotape. And one of the other things we're looking at this year, which we haven't done for many, many years, is in order to get that information into each church. I mean, your church has been brilliant at supporting us over the years. But obviously there's only one of me, and I can only come so often. And there's only one of Sarah, and she can only come so often. So we're looking for each church to put forward a church representative. Somebody who's willing to receive the information from the mission and then stand in front of a microphone and tell you that. So if you think that's you, you need to be able to access emails, because obviously we can't write to you every 5 minutes and telephone you, but we can send you an email with an update. If you think that's you, or somebody you think in the church would be good at that or happy to do it, Then come and get, again, a leaflet at the front. Come and get one of the Giving Tree Project leaflets. It'll explain it more. It's not very onerous. It would just literally be an email maybe once a week, once a fortnight, through from now to Christmas, and giving updates at the front of church, passing them out through the church kind of chain. I think, and we had one of our volunteers said a scary thing the other day. She's noticed that there's another charity in Coventry that as we grow, this charity grows at almost a similar rate. Last year we gave 1,500 and something toys away. They gave 1,500 of what they give away. And she said, I don't know if you noticed, last year they were 2,100. After I revived Sarah and picked her up, I said, if God does that, we'll survive. But yeah, please pray for us. It's scary. Last year nearly broke the mission in terms of how much it cost us to run. But we know God provides. We just talked about God providing. So please keep praying for us. And we do so thank you for all you, the way you pray for us, the way you provide for us. Keep praying for the people of Coventry. We meet more and more people who are struggling. Grief, food, homelessness, immigration. There's so many different things. That it's a real battle. And we're only one little pocket of hope across the city. And the more we do, the more churches get involved, the more we bless our neighbours, our friends, the more we can step out there for Jesus. So thank you. Right, we're going to sing again. Dave admitted, I always like Dave to pick the songs because I haven't got to play that, he has. He admitted to me, he hoped the songs were all right, then admitted that he'd picked them, and sometimes he picks ones he didn't like playing. So I hope these next two songs you like playing. So we're going to stand together, we're going to sing two songs. Thank you. Whoever is Rota to do the collection, if you could do that now, and then we will give thanks. They trusted you. Let's give thanks. Lord, you bless us in so many ways. Financial, practical, emotional support that you give to us. And we pray that this offering may be an example of our gratitude to you. Lord, through these gifts and the gifts that have gone through the bank and the gifts of time and talents, we pray that you may accept these, that you may bless them, and that it may go to serve people around the world and in this community for your kingdom and your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay, our reading today is from Romans 12. And can be found at verse 9. And the title for it is Love in Action. Romans 12, verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never lacking in zeal, be keeping your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, said the Lord. On the contrary, if the enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. I was at a men's breakfast yesterday, which I have to confess something. I don't like men's groups. I am one, but I don't like going to them. I don't like groups that are just for one particular type of people. And if I'm honest, I probably get on better with women than I do with men. So when this group came up at church and, you know, I was, would you like to come? Everything in my head and my mouth, thankfully, well, no, my head and my heart said no. In my mouth said yes. My reason for going was I wanted to support the guy that had arranged it. And so I went along yesterday and we had bacon sandwiches. And then we met with a group who are from Coventry. They're a group of guys who want to support men and mental health. And they were talking about a new course that's coming on in November and December at our church, which I'm going to go to as well because I'm a good boy. But they gave us a little kind of insight, a little kind of pre-course yesterday, telling us what we were going to talk about. And we were talking about having self-esteem and improving your self-esteem and self-worth. But then they talked about gratitude, about being thankful. And interestingly, my title this morning is The Joy of Hope. Being thankful for what we've got and being joyful for it. And I want to look at every day we can have a really bad day. But these guys were saying, actually what they said yesterday was get out your mobile phone and right now, without thinking too much, make a list of what you're thankful for right now. And I actually found it quite easy at that moment. Whether I would have been half an hour before, half an hour after, it depends, doesn't it, on what's going on in your life, what's going on in the world at that point. But I was able to make a list. And they said, keep it on your phone. Look at it again in the morning. Look at it tomorrow evening. Keep looking at it and see if you can add to it. See if you can still give thanks for the things you're giving thanks for. Because that will bring you closer to God. Because He gave you that. He provided it. He's put you in that place. And interestingly, He said, actually physically write it down. Buy a little book, a journal, and write down what you're thankful for today. And then keep doing it every day. He says, because then over time, there's something psychological about the art of writing something down. It makes it more permanent, makes it more real. Go back and look at it. And that's a really good idea. And I was talking to the person I was sitting next to. I said to them that we were talking about our kids. His kids were about 5 years older than our kids. And we were just comparing notes. And I said, one of the things that's, we've never done that writing it down. We've never done putting it in the phone. I said, but every night, when we first had our kids, even when they couldn't talk, we would all get, my wife and I would go and get on our bed with the babies and talk through what we're thankful for and then pray before we went to bed. And I'm proud to say that 19 years on, we're still doing it with them now. In fact, they're the ones that will bully us to go to bed so that they can pray with us, which is brilliant, isn't it lovely? My daughter goes off to university on Saturday and we're still trying to work out how we're going to do it. I was in hospital over the summer and I thought this would be the first time we don't pray together and give thanks for what's happened today. And she's 19 in a couple of weeks, but that young lady said, right, why don't we all text each other, even though three of them are in the same house, why don't we text each other on a group text and then one of us can text a prayer. And I thought, that's amazing. And that was something I was thankful for. So I want to encourage you today to look for hope. Look for hope. Even in the darkest of times, look for hope. God knows us. God knows where we are. God knows, it's almost like a spiritual MOT. God knows what state we're in. But the great news is, although we will always fail, God is a God of compassion, a forgiving God, a merciful God, a loving God. God makes us roadworthy. We may fail that MOT every day, but God puts us right on the road. As I was driving here this morning, my car's a bit too clever for my liking. It told me my brake light had failed. So I now know I've got to go to Halfords on the way home to buy a new brake light to make my car okay. Sometimes I don't think we know what we need to do to make us okay. But thankfully we know a God that does. So I want to talk about a few people this morning. Some characters you'll know from the Bible. But I want to start I'm going to talk about four different men. I'm going to talk about Habakkuk, not talked about much in church. Talk about Job, talk about David. But I want to talk about a friend of mine to start with. Many of you knew Terry Osborne, who passed away a couple of weeks ago. Terry was one of my closest friends. I can't work out if he was a kind of big brother sort of thing, or an uncle or a friend or what he was. But we got on so well. And like so many people, I'm really missing him. But it makes me, I had the honour of leading his Thanksgiving service. And it was amazing, anybody attended, it was amazing to hear so many people say so many things that were amazing about Terry. And you could see the people in the church and in all the different parts of the building we were trying to hide people in, had all come in with baggage. Everybody felt very sad that Terry had gone, but everybody left feeling lifted that they knew Terry and the difference he made in their lives. He gave us hope in a God that he knew, and we can be joyful for that. I get to go to too many funerals. About you, I think you go through stages in life, don't you? You first get married and you get to go to lots of weddings, then you go to lots of christenings and dedications and things. And then you start going to lots of funerals. I don't like that, especially because I get to do a lot of them. But I went to a funeral a little while ago. A lovely lady. She's a real nice lady. But she passed away, and we went to the funeral to give thanks for her. And it was very much a funeral. It was an ending. There was no hope. She didn't have her faith in God. It was just a list of things that she'd achieved in her life. And then at the end of the list, it almost said, and she died. That was it. And I left feeling really sad, feeling really low, that actually this lady was amazing. This lady had a good life and people loved her, but that was it. There was nothing going forward. And it was very much a feeling of hopelessness. But I went to Terry's funeral, I went to Terry's Thanksgiving, and there was a list of things he'd achieved, a list of people he'd blessed. But then it said, and Terry knew the Lord his God. Terry had said to me a few weeks before, if I can get through this treatment and things are good, then great, I get to spend more time with Rose and the family. But if I don't, great, I get to be with my God. And I trust that Terry now is rejoicing with the Lord in heaven. You just know he's got a list already, and he's already, you know, he's got plans. Probably give him God the day off and tell him, you sit down, I'll do it. Oh, you worry. Terry was a doer. Terry was a person who wanted to bless people and help people. And what was the difference with Terry? He had hope. He had hope, and he was joyful. Even through a year of treatment for cancer and the difficulties that he went through, whenever you spoke to him, if you tried to ask him how he was, I don't know if you tried, he would say, oh yeah, I'm doing okay, how are you? What's going on with you? How can I help you? But over the summer, as I say, I'd been unwell, and we were trying to organise our cafe church rota, and Terry hadn't been on it since Christmas because he wasn't well allowed to do it. And he kept saying, can I come back on the rota? Please let me back on the rota. Come on, you can't do it, so can I come and do it? He just wanted to bless people. But he wanted to bless people in the name of Jesus. And that gave so many people hope. It was a goodbye. But it was a goodbye with hope. We said goodbye to a lovely man. A flawed man, an imperfect man like all that we are. But a man who knew where he had hope. He was trusting in the Lord Jesus. And that's what is the difference between no hope and being full of hope. And I hope that we can leave this place today with a little bit more hope. Life's not perfect. You only have to watch the news, pick up a paper, to know that life's not perfect. In our own lives, in our own communities, our own families, we know life's not perfect. But if we trust in God, he won't make it all go away, but he will carry us along. And so what's the difference? What's the difference between that lady that had an ending, she died, and Terry, who at the ending there was hope? The difference is Jesus. It's as simple as that. We celebrate the fact that Jesus is at the centre of Terry's life, and hopefully at the centre of many of our lives. You know, one of the things I said to his family when we were organising the Thanksgiving service, if we don't talk about Jesus as much as we talk about Terry, he wouldn't be happy. He probably wouldn't be happy that we're talking about Terry anyway, but because he would see that as a waste of time. But he'd want us to know about Jesus. He wanted to share that hope. We've got a cafe across the road from where our church is and where my wife and I live. And it's where I used to meet Terry. And it kind of felt like some sort of papal visit if you're having coffee with Terry. Because you would be talking to him and he'd be talking 10, 15 times to other people. Oh, Terry, how are you? Oh, Terry. You think, has he come to see me or just to show off? But it was lovely because he knew each person. He knew where their situation was. You know, they say, oh, hi, Terry. Oh, hello. And immediately, how's this? How's that? Because he had hope, he shared hope, and he wanted to give hope to the rest. A good definition of hope is the feeling that what is wanted can be had or events will turn out for the best. We know that isn't always true. We could have hope, but we know we have hope in God that he will be with us. In the book of Habakkuk, the prophet gives a lengthy explanation of what's wrong with his circumstances and of the circumstances of his people. He tells God the destruction and violence are before him and that strife and conflict is everywhere. Sounds like now. He says, the law is paralysed and justice never wins. He said, the wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Habakkuk goes on to complain to God that righteous and obedient servants like himself are made to suffer great affliction and humiliation. While unbelievers and heathens prosper at their expense and lord over them as rulers and dictators. That really does sound like now, doesn't it? It's quite scary. Yesterday, one of my daughter's friends couldn't start university because she was going to a city in this country where her skin colour meant she would have been at real risk yesterday. And that just breaks my heart. She had little hope. And she was about to, you know, fly off to start new things and a new life for herself. The first time she'd left home to do something new. And she couldn't go because they were fearful. We need to come together and offer hope. I understand what Habakkuk's saying. I've probably moaned some of those things to God, to my family. But if we let it affect our hope, if we want to give up, go, what's the point? Then they win, don't they? The devil wins. But God says two things. Circumstances will get worse before they get better. It's quite a scary thought, but he says it. God also says that at the appointed time, he will rectify the situation. So he doesn't promise it will go away anytime soon, but he does say at the right time, I will be there. Hope. Habakkuk's hope was revived because he knew that God had heard him. He knew that God was listening. Nothing better than being listened to, is there? And being heard. A lot of us lose hope because we feel on our own. As I said about the Oasis Cafe at work, people feel hopeless because they feel alone, not listened to, not recognised. And I want to remind you today that God knows you. He knows how you feel. He knows your situation. God is listening. God sent and promised His Holy Spirit to walk with us. In any relationship, we know that communication helps. Talking and listening sometimes makes all the difference. If my wife and I ever fall out, it's usually because somebody said something and the other partner has heard something different. So I'll say something and she'll like, no, she won't. don't tell her. No, she'll bite, she'll snap. And I'll go, whoa, hang on a minute. What do you think I said? And she'll say back almost the same thing, but how she's heard it. Good communication is key. She will tell you the story of her grandma, who suffered with cancer for a lot of her life and was known in the church as, oh, that's that lady with cancer. She used to wear a wig, it was obvious. She was in a wheelchair. And yet many people would still do that thing that we all do. We probably did it a lot today as we walked in. You do that thing, you go, hello, how are you? And just keep walking. And maybe listen to the answer. And she got so fed up of that over the months that one day, as somebody walked past her wheelchair in the aisle and said, hi, how are you? And carried on. She said, as she walked past, she said, oh, well, apart from the cancer, I'm fine. Maybe not the kindest thing to do. But that person took three more steps and froze. And then turned around and said, I'm so sorry. I was rushing off to do something. And it made that person open their eyes to actually hear somebody who's going through a tough time. And we can offer hope just by listening, just by putting an arm around somebody, by understanding. Because when we listen to, we felt heard, we feel heard. We don't feel invisible. We know Jesus doesn't promise to take our struggles away. At least not this side of heaven. We know that for Terry, he was going through health issues that meant he couldn't do the things he wanted to do. But he knew restoration was coming. And whilst I'm sure he would love to be with Rose and his family right now, he's with a God that's made him new. And we have hope. Jesus promised that he would listen when he taught us to pray. In a while we'll pray the Lord's Prayer. He taught us to pray. He was listening and he is still listening today. He promised to walk with us when he sent the Holy Spirit. He promised never to leave us or forsake us. And all of these promises can give us hope. Those things that I wrote down on my phone yesterday that I was thankful for, I should really write some of these things down. Because the fact that God is listening to us, God cares for us, God won't leave us, should be a list of things that encourage us to have hope. While our struggles are real and can be totally debilitating, hope transcends those circumstances. For our hope is in the one that controls all circumstances. We need to remember those circumstances are in God's hands. We usually cannot control any of it, can we? I remember when we had the soon-to-be 19-year-old, there were some issues. We were in special care in hospital, and apparently my wife had noticed I'd spent quite a while in the lead-up to the birth and at the birth, and I was so stressed, my knuckles were white constantly. And it was because I felt out of control. And I was holding on to everything. And somebody said to me, God can't get in there and change anything if you don't open your hands and give it to him. And I want to encourage you if you're feeling out of control of your circumstances and you're holding on to them because you think you've got to, give them to God, because that will bring you hope. For Habakkuk, God's reassurance was the source of his hope. Let's move on to Job. He was a man who seemingly had everything and lost it all. The Bible, as we know, describes Job as blameless and an upright man, one who feared God and shunned evil. And because of that devout character, God had blessed him. God had blessed Job. He was wealthy. He had a wonderful family. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters. He had a fine home, loving wife. But in a moment, all was gone. The Bible says that God, for his own reasons, permitted Satan to take away from Job those things that God had blessed him to enjoy. In one moment, Job lost his wealth. In the second, he lost his children. In the third, he lost his health. In the fourth, his friends came and falsely accused him. In the fifth, his wife renounced, rejected him. I don't think any of us maybe have that category after, you know, one after another, things go wrong in our lives. But life goes wrong sometimes. And at a split second. One moment, maybe everything may be fine, but the next, your world could be turned upside down. If your entire life is measured by our worst moments, there's very little reason to have hope. We live in a world now of social media, the Instagrammable moment. You know, I love my kids, but they're always tick, tick. The camera's never pointing that way, it's always pointing this way. You know, the amount of photos I've seen of my daughter in the toilets somewhere because they're taking a photograph of themselves in the mirror. It's the way of things today. But if they're their best moments, great. But if we did the same with our worst moments, we wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. If we remind ourselves of those things we have got, the things that God has given us, things that God has done over the years and will repeatedly do, we can have hope. And now I've lost my place. I thank God today that while man measures life by worst, God sees it from a different perspective. A different set of eyes, a different way of looking. I worked one of my first jobs. Anybody that knows the Tesco's over at by Showcase. It used to be called Homeworld when it first opened, and I was one of the managers there. And it was an okay place to work, but I had a boss who I couldn't stand, and he couldn't stand me. And one day he frog-marched me across from where I worked to another part of the department. And he said, now look. And he was pointing back at where I worked. And I just couldn't understand what he was trying to tell me. And it was the one lesson I felt he taught me. He said, look at it from here. Look at it from a different perspective. And I could see the point he was making then. When we were standing right in the middle of what was going on in my department, I didn't get it. I couldn't see the point he was making. But when he told me to step out of it, to walk just a little way and look, things appeared different. And we changed things. God will show us from a different perspective if we look to him. If you want to know the joy of hope, then you need to be able to bless the Lord in every moment of life. Job's experience of God gave him hope. And finally, I'm going to talk very briefly about David. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Well, we know that David knew something about changing moments. In one moment, David was a shepherd boy. In the next, he was going to be anointed king of Israel. In one moment, David was a delivery man of food for his brothers. In the next, he's fighting a giant. And on and on and on. So many times throughout David's life, there were moments where everything changed. And yet through all of the changing moments of his life, it would be easy for him to give up. It would be easy for him to have faced what was in front of him and gone, no way. And lose hope. But every time, through the ups and downs, through the victories and defeats, through laughter and tears, through successes and failures, David says this: at all times, I will bless the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Why? You can kind of hear David say, it's because I've been young and I now am old and I've seen many things. But the one thing I've never seen is the righteous forsaken. God of promises can give us hope. And I want to encourage you, going right back to the beginning, do we want to be that lady who had a funeral where there was no hope? Or do we want to be Terry Osborne, where his Thanksgiving service left other people leaving with hope? It all comes down to recognising that God's in control and that God is with us. And if we submit to him, if we're thankful to him, he will walk alongside us and bless us every day. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you walk with us. We recognise that you don't tell us it's going to be easy. You don't tell us it's all sorted. But you do tell us that you're with us. You do tell us that you sent your Spirit to walk alongside us and guide us. And that you are preparing a place for us in heaven. Lord, wherever we are, whatever journey we're walking right now, help us to remember the small things we can give thanks for, the small things that give us hope, the small things we can be joyful for, because they will build up. They will keep us going. They will keep that walk with you, Lord. Just bless us now, we pray. Amen. Song time again, please, sir. I'm going to stand together to sing "How Wonderful, How Glorious Is the Love of God." Okay, let's sit as we spend a short time in prayer. Lord, we come to you in a troubled world. Lord, war, conflict, protest, anger seems to be the title of our news at all times at the moment. Lord, we pray for hope. We pray for hope in each situation, that peace may reign, that love may reign, that you may step into each situation and put the right people in place to bring peace, not more conflict, not more hatred, not more love. We pray that you flow your Holy Spirit throughout each nation, each situation, Lord, and that good men and women may step up and step into situations to make a difference, to bring hope of a peaceful future. We pray for our own country, which seems very troubled and lost at the moment, Lord, with leaders who we don't know if we can trust and listen to. Again, Lord, we pray for peace and hope. A hope of a nation that can look at each other through loving eyes, to offer support, to offer a hand, to offer hope. To not leave people by the roadside, but to carry them as they go on their journey, to walk alongside people, to live their lives with them. We pray for this community, Lord, this church. Lord, we know different people are struggling with different things. We pray for Lynn and Stuart as Lynn faces her diagnosis. We pray that you will be with them and the rest of their family. We pray for families throughout this this church community with struggles going on, with different things happening. Lord, we know you love families. Lord, we pray you will walk alongside them, comfort them, give them hope. Pray for anyone, Lord, who's going through difficult times with in health or situation. Lord, we know you are here, you are listening, you care. You can't promise to take it away, but you can promise that you will walk with us. And we can trust in that hope. Pray you'll be in each of our lives, in each of our situations, Lord. Help us to give them to you. Help us to trust you for the answers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom is yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Okay, our final song. Let's stand together to sing Filled with Compassion for All the People Who Live on the Earth. Let's stand together to sing. A final prayer. Lord, for your goodness and generosity in giving us all we need, help us to praise you, O God. In every circumstance of life, in good times and bad, help us to trust you, O God. In love and faithfulness with all that we have and all that we are, help us to serve you, O God. As we speak or write or listen to those nearby or far away, help us to share your love, O God, in our plans and work for ourselves and for others. Help us to glorify you, O God, in every thought and word and deed, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, may in this week, may we live for you, O God. Lord, bless us as we leave this place. May we walk with you, and may we walk with hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.